Mr. A.W. Phillips, Reel 6. You were just going to tell me, Mr. Phillips, about the lectures that you had at the Soldiers Institute and how they gave you an insight. Insight into what?
Well, they gave an insight into the customs of the country and also of the different religions. There was, you know, and the things they do for the in their religion, such as the Juggernaut, which is a festival about every April, I think it is, and they dress up this the Juggernaut in all this finery, and parade it through the town. Well, that I believe is the I'm not sure about this. I think it's the Muslim people that had this Juggernaut. I'm not quite sure. It might be the Indians. But
didn't you actually see a Juggernaut whilst you were in
Bangalore? Oh yes, I saw the parade. Yeah, there's all these fellas all dressed in white, and they pull it and stand by it all day long. Very interesting, but I'm not sure what religion that was.
Did you see any other Indian festivals whilst you were there?
No, the Juggernaut was the only one that I think I saw, really.
You didn't see some chap... You were telling me that you saw some chaps dressed up as tigers or something.
Oh yes, a tiger festival, yes, that's right, yes. I don't... Well, we didn't know exactly what that was because they suddenly appeared on the barrack square one day, and I wondered what it was all about, all this dancing and shouting and that. And it was supposed to be this about a 10-day festival, I think they called it.
Was this in Bangalore as well?
That's what in Bangalore, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I thought they were supposed to be... marked it as skeletons, but it seemed that they were supposed to be tigers.
Did you have a theatre in any of the cantonments you were at?
Have what?
Did you have a garrison theatre at any of the stations?
No, not in India. Not in India, no. There might have been... You see, this was during the war. There might have been such a thing as... The cinemas, or theatres rather, with the regular soldiers out there. But to my knowledge, there was no theatres there, only the cinemas.
What about reading rooms? Were there any reading rooms?
No, not as far as I can remember. No.
I expect you kept yourselves amused quite a lot by playing sports, did you?
Oh, yes. They used to play squash a lot. And handball. You know, you've got the outside walls where you handball them. I don't know what they call that sport. But instead of using a racket, you use your hand. Is it five courts? I believe they call it five courts. And so you got a big wall up, you see, and you could play then the sides to it so that the ball didn't go out. And this side you could play the other side as well. But I didn't play it myself, but I used to watch the other fellas play it. Of course, we played football a lot, I guess that. But...
What type of surface did they play on? Mm-hmm. What type of surface did they play?
Oh, it was on sand. Oh, yes, it was on sand, but we played one of the native regiments one evening, and they played in bare feet. And, I wasn't playing myself, but I was watching them, and I thought to myself, well, I don't know, they're going to get aged by the look of it, bare feet, and us playing in boots. But no, nobody was injured. They got out of the way very quickly. It's quite a good game. Yeah.
But what effect on the game did the fact that the surface was sand have?
Oh, it's very fast. Yeah, very, very fast on sand, because it's, as you know, with a tennis ball on the sand, it's pretty fast. So the football was too.
Did you go to church?
Yes. Most of them went to the with the band to the Church of England. Well, I did once or twice, and then I switched and went to the Methodist Church there. Quite a nice service, and quite enjoyed them.
Did the Salvation Army or any agencies like that organise any services for the soldiers?
I don't think the Salvation Army were there, if I right remember. The only band that we had was their own. We got the band and the bugle band. But I don't remember any other band. I don't even remember the other regiment having band, come to think of it.
But, I mean, what about things like reading rooms or canteens or anything like that?
Oh, we had the canteens, all right, but I don't remember seeing a reading room. But I was one of those that didn't go in more inside more than I could possibly help. I mean, if I was in the barracks, and even now I always want to be out. I don't want to be indoors. And I think that was why I saw more than a lot of the other fellows that didn't trouble to scout around at all. I was always out. I mean, when we went to Lal Bagh's, you remember the that gardens? Well, it was a hot day, but we still wanted to go out and look around and find out things.
And these were the Lal Bagh gardens in Bangalore.
That's right. Yeah.
Like public gardens, in other words.
That's right, yeah.
What were relations like between the NCOs and the men?
Oh, very good. There was only one little upset I had when I came out of hospital. I had a minor operation, and I wasn't feeling too good, and we were digging a trench. And, you know, I didn't feel like it. And the sergeant said something about, oh, give us that shovel, he said, if you can't do something. And, you know, I sat there and cried. I couldn't stop myself. And the officer came over and he said, what's the trouble? I still went on crying. Couldn't stop myself, couldn't answer him. So he just said, well, he said, when you feel better, he said, go back to barracks, he said, and see the doctor. And I was still crying, but I got over it eventually, and it was, I don't know why it caught me like that, but never had an experience like it since. And the funny part was that sergeant was at a reunion, one reunion, and he remembered and I remembered, and he didn't speak to me and I didn't speak to him. Now that's years afterwards that was. And that was the only reunion that I ever saw him at. But it just shows that after a hospital treatment, you see, you're well down. But, I mean, I never cried like it since, or before, as far as I remember, but I just couldn't control myself. And that was the only time that I ever remember being up against a sergeant. Although, come to think of it, He did. I don't think he liked me very much, because he did put me on barrack charge at one time. Could find the barracks for some little thing that I did, but I don't know what it was now. But anyhow, I always remember that crying business, but just wish I couldn't stop.
Was that, had you come out of hospital after having your arm treated?
That's right. No, not my arm. The minor operation, yeah. Circumcision.
Uh-huh.
Which It would have been 9 years before. But you see, the food there was good to a certain extent, but then if you didn't go out buy something yourself, you didn't have as much as you wanted, really. So we used to go in the canteen practically every night, and I know our money wasn't good, but the meals were cheap, so I mean, it all balanced up, in a sense, to today's money, if you like to look at it that way.
What about relations between you and the officers, the commissioned officers? Were there good relations between the officers and the men?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we got on very well with them. Oh, yes. Yes, we used to... Well, was at one camp, we had some competition with the officers. That's right. Yeah, we had mules and they had horses, and we played, well, it was hockey or something. And then when we changed over from the officers were on the donkeys, and we went on the horses. It was quite good fun. Oh yes, we got on very well with the officers.
Did you have a mess for the privates? Was there a private's mess?
No. No. There probably would be in the regular army, but I think our food was just brought over from the canteen and served out, and that was that. We sat, went in just inside and sat down at it on the bed.
Did you ever see any European women whilst you were in India? Were there any white women that you saw at all there?
I can't remember that. Oh, yes, of course it was. Yes, of course they came to church. Yes, that's what the white women came to church. But we didn't see them in the streets very much, come to think of it. We didn't see them in church.
Who were the white women in church? Were they wives of soldiers?
Yes, well, wives of some of the... there was white doctors and dentists and that sort of thing at Bangalore, along the parade, opposite the Maidan, you know the Maidan, where they play cricket and have all the festivals and that. And... all along there was these doctors and shops of that. But I should imagine it was their wives that we mostly saw, but they didn't go out much during the day, I don't think.
Did you ever have dances led on as entertainment?
I'd never danced in my life, so I don't know what happened about that.
Did it create any problems for these soldiers, the fact that there were no European women?
Not to my knowledge. It never worried me. And I never... You see, at that time, we weren't... We didn't have sex taught in schools at that time. And you see, I mean, I didn't know much about that sort of thing until I was about 19 or 20. Well, of course, I mean, the kids nowadays, they know it all before they leave school. But out there, as far as I can remember, there was the only time that the fella said to me, he says, coming over the bull ring. Well, you know what that is. Well, that's the girls over there, the Japanese and Chinese and English and all the rest of it, that you could visit.
Well, you mean a brothel?
Yes, they call it the bull ring.
So it was a kind of nickname for a brothel.
That's right, and they're examined by a doctor every fortnight. And the fellow said to me, he said, coming over the bull ring. I said, no. I said, I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. And that was the only instance that I ever remember that sort of thing ever being mentioned.
Was that in Bangalore?
Yes. Yeah.
Did he go himself?
I should imagine so. I didn't go with him. I wasn't, wasn't that keen about that sort of thing.
So that was the only instance you heard of soldiers going to brothels?
That's right. That's the only instance I ever... And, of course, I mean, we're all fairly very young fellas, you see, at that time. I mean, some of them was even younger than me, 18, 17. So that sort of thing I don't think worried them.
So was there any instances of VD or anything like that?
Anyone?
Were there any instances of venereal disease?
There was one, yes, there was one fellow I remember, but he wasn't a bear battalion. He was transferred to us for some unearthly reason, and he was in a horrible plight. Because at that time there wasn't the medical treatment that you can get now. And I only saw him once, and I understood that his mouth and that was being eaten away. And that was the only time I ever saw him. But why he ever came to us, I don't know, whether it was for medical treatment or what. Goodness only knows. But that was the only case I ever heard of venereal disease of any sort.
How did he get it, do you know?
No idea. I didn't talk to the fellow. No, I just knew he was there and that he'd been transferred to us, and why, I never knew.
Did you know of any instances of soldiers marrying Indian women?
No, never heard of it. They might have done, those that stayed out there, you see, they made a register for those that would like to have jobs out there, and when they stopped it, they may have married them, but otherwise I didn't hear of any of their fellows going out with any of the Indian girls either, because there was that separation that you didn't approach them and they didn't approach you.
This register you mentioned, was this when you were leaving India in 1919?
Yes, that's right. Mm. Yes, the business people got this. Well, they realised, I suppose, that there was a certain amount of potential amongst the fellows that were of a different class, perhaps, to some of the others, some of the regular soldiers, and they opened this register to anybody that would like a job and, you know, state what they were and what they wanted. And there were several say out there, I know. But whether they married, whether they went off on marriage, I don't know.
Did you come across any instances of homosexuality amongst the troops?
No. Never heard of the word. They call themselves the Gay Society. I should call them the Pervert Society, because that's what they are. But the funny part was, when I was in Norfolk, when it was perishing cold, we was out on guard duty, we used to sleep three together. And we used to toss up for who had the centre position, because that was the warmest. But for homosexuals, it never entered their head. Never a thought, never heard of such a word. That's a funny, isn't it? And where's it come from now?
So you'd never actually heard of homosexuality whilst you're
Never in. Heard of it, never heard, didn't know what the word meant or anything.
Did you ever get any leave whilst you were in India?
Yes, well, we could have had leave, but I put in for leave to Darjeeling. I was going up there for a fortnight, and then plague sprang out.
Plague?
Up there, plague, there was a plague up there. I don't know what it was, but anyhow, they closed the city to people going in. So I didn't go. It was the one place I'd like to have gone to, Darjeeling. But, I mean, in a sense, you got plenty of time to yourself. You didn't, you got about the country, and really you didn't want a holiday of any sort, in a sense. The only people that did go away was the football team and the boxers. They went away, you know.
For matches. For
matches. But otherwise, I never went away with it in any way. I only just kept the battalion all the time.
So there was no entitlement to leave then?
Well, yes, there was entitlement. You could put in for a fortnight or a week if you wanted it. And you're entitled to it, but nobody seemed to want it.
Did you ever go up to any hill stations?
Oh, only on convalescence. I went up to Toper and Upper Toper.
And what did you think to them?
Oh, they're very nice. They're lovely places up there. I thoroughly enjoyed myself up there. But used to hear some queer noises. We didn't go into the forest or anything of that sort. We kept the road because we used to hear some queer noise in that. You know, you never knew what was in there. We didn't go in amongst the bushes at all. We kept well away.
What did you think these noises were?
Well, monkeys or something of that sort. Never, you get some queer noise out there. Especially the tree rats at night. I mean, they were the peculiar noises that you don't hear in this country. And there was another thing, you've got a buzzing. If you went walking sometimes at night and you went under a tree, you could hear this tremendous buzz. And yet the beetle, when you found it, was only about a couple of inches long. And how it made such a noise, nobody ever knew. I suppose he's rubbing his legs together or something. But you could hear the vibration a long way away before you came to it. And it was only a small beetle we found afterwards. What sort of beetle was, I'll never know.
Was it at Upper Toper that you said you saw silver foxes?
Oh, yes. Yes, we used to play cards a lot up there, you know, and nothing else to do. And the moonlight night, and we looked out there, and of course all the rubbish bins were along the outside, you see. And we saw these silver foxes coming along, scabbling about. Very interesting.
The Indian servants that there were in the barracks, how did the troops get on with those servants?
Well, they got on very well with them. We never had any cause to complain. I mean, they always did their job. We didn't have much of contact with them because they used to just come in and clean the pots and pans and pack them up and that. But we did nearly everything ourselves, really, in a sense. The women used to sit outside with their frying pans and frying some eggs if we wanted them, that sort of thing, you know. But as we go into contact, the only contact I had really was the barber that came round of a morning and used to wake you up to give you a shave. Not that I wanted much shaved in those days. But otherwise, we didn't speak to them much, you know, as far as I remember. We used to never any argument or anything.
Didn't you tell me that some of the servants at Bangalore were in tears when you left?
Oh yes. When we left, they lost their job and all the rest. Oh, of course, there was a letter in there that was sent to the colonel about the charity they'd like from him for leaving. But
because they'd lost a job,
they never knew when another battalion was coming in. You see, it might be months before another one had come in, especially at that time during the war. I mean, ordinarily, you see, of course, one battalion goes out and another one goes in. But during the war, it was rather a different story. I mean, we went out and probably nobody else went in for quite a long time.
Didn't you say that you found a difference in attitude to the Indian servants between you territorials and the regulars?
Well, there was the when we first got there, with the servants were there, you see, and of course we used to give them so much, and this sergeant, he's a regular sergeant, he came in and called us all together and gave us a lecture. I suppose he's going around the different bungalows, you see. And told us that you only give them a certain amount. I don't know whether it was fourpence a week, something like that. Everybody, fourpence a week, something of that sort. Don't give them any more, and if they don't do what they're told to do, give them a kick. Well, of course, I didn't like that attitude myself, and I found out afterwards that you couldn't do that sort of thing. Although the sergeant said you could, that Indian could go and report you to the colonel. So I think there was something wrong somewhere there.
How did you find that out, that you couldn't do it?
Well, because I understand that there was one complaint from one of the Indians to the colonel where somebody else had been a bit rough with them. So I knew that it couldn't be done. Well, of course, it said so in the magazine. The magazine at that time.
Which magazine was that?
The Sussex magazine that was published over there.
This was a regimental...
A regimental magazine, yeah.
How often did that appear?
Oh, about once a month, I think.
How much did it cost you?
About 3 pence, I believe.
Yeah. Was it interesting?
Oh, yes, it gave you stories and told you what was happening with regards to sport and all that sort of thing. And
I think you've got some copies of it. You've even kept some copies now, haven't you?
Oh,
from
1916 to 17. Yeah. So I let it out and somebody pinched out 8 important pages out of it.
Did you find the Indian barrack servants trustworthy?
What?
Did you find that these servants were trustworthy? Could you trust them?
Yes, yes, I think so. I never heard of anybody losing anything. Of course, we had a big box at the bottom of the bed, which of course they'd all got locks on them, so you didn't leave them open too much, and you didn't have anything standing about, you know, on the bedside table or anything of that sort. If you ever wanted anything that raised or anything of that sort, then you just opened your box and took it out. But otherwise, there was nothing laying about that could be picked up.
Were there any particular groups of Indians who the troops liked best? You know, like Punjabis, Pathans, Bengalis, or whatever.
Well, it was the Gurkhas we were most friendly with. Mm. We didn't have much contact with any of the others.